Cool edit is working. All right. It's a little loud. Let's see. I'm going to turn it down. I guess I'm okay. Okay, we're live at Peace Camp.
And that was the word, Linda Mae Johnson by Ed Fry.
Ed Fry, you can put Ed on. I want to ask him a couple questions.
Let me see if Ed's available. Okay, he's talking to another.
Once again, Ed Fry was the lawyer. He's gotten two lodging tickets. He's looking at a maximum of 2 years for sleeping.
Let me see, Ed, would you like to talk to Free Your Freedom on
TV? Oh, yeah. Hi, Free.
Hi, Ed. I want to ask you a couple questions.
Okay.
So you're, there's going to be a march down to the homeless center on Thursday. Is that correct?
That's what we're going to discuss tonight. It's one of the things we're going to discuss tonight. It's a good possibility. We're trying to have a meeting with them, but we're going to discuss tonight what the basic purpose of our actions here, which is to get a conversation going to stimulate people's imagination and have them imagine how it feels to be homeless, or how it feels to be poor, how it feels this, that, or the other, victimization, and to see, to discuss the risks that are imposed on us needlessly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the revolution. It will occur in people's minds, and it will occur through their imagination. And we hope to do everything in our power to open up those imaginations.
All right, Coral's going to be recording the meeting, if that's okay.
Okay.
I mean, the police were trying to listen last night. We figured we might as well let them just, you know, tune into free radio and they can listen directly. I want to ask you, Gary was telling me that the police now are asking people if they're on the list at the homeless shelter for the waiting list to get shelter there, and did they check in today before writing them a ticket. Now, it sounds like if you are on the list and you have to...
Excuse me, Frank. You know what? People are here for the meeting, and it's past the time when we're supposed to start. I have to do that. I'm sorry.
All right. That's okay.
I really apologize. But I want to get the meeting going.
All right. Fine.
So we're going to lose it. Okay, hang on. Here's Carl. Sorry.
Oh, that was Ed Fry. Okay, and they're about ready to start the meeting. And as they gather around, I think I'm going to get myself a blanket to sit on, because it's still legal.
It's still legal. And the meeting will be over by 10, so...
The lights are not on, so I don't feel that spied upon yet.
You don't need your sunglasses yet. They do run. They put bright lights on when the loud generator. You know, the reason they claim is to provide security, but I'm sure it's just to make it annoying for people to sleep there.
Yeah, and I was told that they are asking people if they're on some kind of list waiting to get into the shelter every night now.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Ed about that, because it sounds like if you are on the list and you have checked that day, they won't offer, they won't give you a ticket. So Ed has succeeded if that's the case, because he did want them to check first before writing a ticket. So, maybe that's the next move we can make, is get everybody on the list and, you know, go down there every day and check.
So if everyone says they are on the list, they're not going to check, are they? Or are they?
I don't know what it means. I mean, they're probably just trying to, you know, say that, well, they weren't on the list, so they can't use the necessity defense. But if we call their bluff and get on that list and say we checked every day, then apparently, you know, they can't write tickets then. We'll have to see. You could bring that up at the meeting.
I'll probably bring that up at the meeting. Is it okay to leave the phone on, or are you going to play music while the...
No, I mean, we'll keep it live. It's, you know.
All right.
No one cares about music. Start. You can always hear music. You can go on YouTube and hear music, but you can't hear live at Peace Camp on YouTube.
I'm going to sit down and get in action.
I want to bring up a little gap. 7-8 people, a couple hours a day.
I think I hear.
Yeah. Okay, so let's sit down and have a rational
a former guest
conversation about this.
They're ready to start the meeting.
Ed Fry has also been on our show. They're at the archives at freakradio.org. Look under Free the Land or Tangerine Dream Team, and you'll find we had Ed on, and we had Buffalo, which I just heard in the background there also. We've also had Blind Bear. We had a few people that are at Peace Camp on our show.
Yeah.
That's why I think.
Can you get closer to him?
Okay.
So much we're over there. They were sort of laughing at me. Like, we're illegally old Santa Cruz. They were going to come after that.
Really?
Yeah. And they have not done
that. I'll have to ask each person.
Yeah, you're going to probably have to move around, get close to him throughout the meeting.
Part of the public escrow.
Is it all right if I put this up to you?
Yeah. I can get the link to the article that was published in escrow. It's still available online. And that's a great article in the good times about how some people liked living in the woods and it wasn't a problem. That article kind of disappeared out of their archives and their people told me it was no longer available. But the one about how Santa Cruz County was redlining and how they got busted by rural legal aid is still available at the Metro website. And I have a hard copy of it. I can take it down once they hear this on the radio.
Okay, we're listening to...
Apparently we have some listeners. What's going on, what we're talking about here is the CRLA, California Rural Legal Assistance. Gary Johnson has suggested that they may help us here. And Lee was telling us about other CRLA work and how good it's been. So what we need to do is agree now.
Lee is known as anti-imperial in the archives.
Raise your hand, 3 minutes. And then if you want to respond to that, you can. I got some announcements first, though. Robert Norris has told me that Elise Caspi is coming back Wednesday or Thursday or Friday this week from Berkeley. She was a real spark plug, and, a wonderful woman, and she's helped get us together and helped get organize some meetings. So I look forward to that. So, without further ado, who would like to speak first? Who has something they want to say? Gary Johnson.
I'm going to give you their phone number.
Okay, he's going to give me the phone number for CRLA. I got a pin.
Yeah.
Okay, what's your phone number?
458.
Okay, good, thank you. Alright, so I'm going to take a 3 minute, is that the end of it? Okay, I'm going to take a 3 minute time right now to speak my feelings. My feelings are very clear that we're doing something here that seems to be the right first step to point out all of the oppression that's going on. This is among the most oppressive of all, depriving people of the most vital activity they engage in, which is sleep. Yes. You get 3 minutes after my 3 minutes. So... What needs to be done, this is the first step, the next thing that needs to be done is to start a conversation so that people can start tuning in to a common conversation throughout the entire society so that we can pay attention as one people to what is going on. The kind of conversation I'm talking about is a conversation between the citizen and the office holder. There is a proposed constitutional amendment that has reached all the way inside the White House to Rahm Emanuel, who is intrigued by the idea. He would amend the Constitution to require every federal office holder, that is every member of the House, every member of the Senate, the President, and the Vice President, come forward in separate forums every 30 days on television across the table from a citizen or that citizen's appointed proxy for a 30-minute conversation. Follow-up questions obviously will be possible. There won't be any of this stuff you find at the town hall meetings and the press conferences. A single person has to get a single question for about 30 seconds, no real time to set up a problem. Then the president or whoever answers the question and goes on to the next. And all you hear is sound bites and speechifying. That muddles people's minds. What captures people's minds genuine conversation, genuine dialogue. That's what we'll have. Because citizens will put their name in the hat, name gets drawn, they get to spend 30 minutes across the table from the president, on television, across the whole globe, on the internet, and so on. So that, so we can we can imagine if Noam Chomsky were picked as a proxy to challenge Barack Obama for 30 minutes, we would end militarism in a week, or possibly we'd at least we get it started. And that's what we need to do, because Barack Obama promised. He said, I want to change the mindset that got us into Iran. And the mindset he's talking about is militarism itself, violence. Violence as a means to solve a problem. Everybody knows now it doesn't work. This is the kind of conversation we need to have. We have to talk about violence. We have to talk about greed. We have to talk about reconstructing our political economy so that it works for everybody. That's what we're going to do. That's why what we're doing here is a first step. So there's the end of my speech, Brian. And now Robert Facer would like to address the meeting.
I'm Robert Facer, and I would like to comment. And sitting here in front of the city council building, that the people here are they apparently don't live in this area. What they're doing right now, with the full approval of the city council, is cutting down all the trees and brush that line the San Lorenzo River, which is basically what it's doing is it's making it impossible to find a place to sleep. It's finding it makes it impossible to find any privacy if you're not of the type of person who rents a home in this paradise of warm weather. It is making it impossible to do such private personal things as masturbate or do any other of these things, which people actually do. And now in Santa Cruz, in this particular, walking distance from the spot where I'm now standing, it's impossible to find any place to even so much as lay down and find any privacy at all at night. The effect of this on people trying to find a berth is absolutely unbelievable. I mean, it is right now, as far as I can see, any place within several miles of walking from where I'm at, there's no place at all the way down. And I believe that the city council, which has authorized this, is insane. There's no rational reason to do away with all of it. I mean, if you don't like the homeless littering the place up, you can spend some money, hire some people to go in there and clean out camps. You can go in there. You can have a law which makes it unlawful to camp in the same location for over a week. You can have laws stating that you can't have any litter. You don't need to cut down every single tree in order to control the homeless situation. This is an insane solution, and I am very concerned that we would elect people who are this completely irresponsible and totally unconcerned about the welfare of their constituents. I seriously doubt the legitimacy of the voting process if they elect this type of individual to the city council. And I believe that's probably about all that I want to say at this point.
Hello. Just for the record, I'm going to refer to myself as Ocean. I don't really identify with a name often. If I do, it's one that I would use. But with that said, I'm a natural person, and I have certain things that I need to do, like sleep. And this is a law that is very unfair. It prohibits anyone at all, whether you're poor or rich or middle class, homeless or not, to be inside of a vehicle that you lawfully own and fall asleep on public property, which is what I used to do and consider my house. This touches base on very fundamental issues that I am very deeply entrenched with, being a human living in this realm. I have actually came through here in November with the car I had the privilege of owning and driving. I understand that that is a privilege to drive, and I used that as a sort of form of mobility and considered myself a resident or a citizen of America in terms that I was born here, which we all have the right to do. or not do. We would like to just disown it and go to another country. That's our choice as people born on this earth. And with that said, that was my means of transportation, my livelihood, my house, and having it be disabled and not be able to be used is very hindering. So if you're in a situation where you don't have your resources, it's not fair to try to have people suppress the little bit you have in such forms as property or liberty. And I've expressed myself in many forms, in protest, peacefully, of course. I'm a peaceful person. And to the dissatisfaction of law enforcement officials, I don't think this is right. When did your rights end and my rights begin? I was told in civics class that my rights end where your nose begins and vice versa, and I agree with that. Unless you can come up with a better explanation and reasoning for how rights work, I would like to adopt that as a ground basis understanding here. And then we have to talk about liberties. And when are you free to leave on your own volition a situation of oppression? You're being coerced or under duress to sign a ticket or any sort of lawful document that's going to bind you to something, and you're under duress and have been deprived of necessities, not even rights or privileges at this point, which is basic human function. Then where did you begin? That's what I would like to ask. Invoke thought. Because I have to do this every night when I go to sleep, or every day when I go to the bathroom and be looked at like, is he a criminal for sleeping or not? Thank you for your time.
Do a sound check here. Is it still good?
Still good.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Hi, I'm Razer. Pronounce it R-A-Y-Z-E-R. My concern here as a 35-year resident of Santa Cruz, California, and various economic statuses over those years is that this town has created an untenable situation. It appears they think that community is unimportant. They blew up their middle class and lower class communities right here. The working class is absolutely gone. But I think the real approach here, and I want to cut to the chase. Basically what they're doing when they criminalize homelessness, they spend a lot of tax dollars, and according to every study that's ever been published that gets used in courts and by planning commissions across America, criminalizing homelessness is absolutely ineffectiveness. It does not work. Telling people they can't sleep, doing all those sort of things. You need to be more proactive. They need to develop ways of creating stakeholdership within the community for those that can do it. Mental health services for people that are homeless due to mental health, you know, or physical conditions, sort of. But I want to hammer home that for the last 35 years I've lived here, the city has wasted uncounted, probably millions of dollars pursuing policies that are ineffective and throwing money at it. And they're in some sort of like fiduciary malfeasance, and they need to be taken to task legally about it. I'll pass this on now.
Yeah.
As part of this meeting, I was asked to offer the possibility that people go to the police station and wait to get their belongings back. I just want to throw that out by waiting there the night before that they're open on Thursday and form a line as if they're waiting, you know, get tickets to an event, because the police have not given all the belongings back, and there's only two times a week this is permitted, so the group could. And that's the idea that I was asked to put out to this meeting.
Well, we had a march protesting the seizure of property, and we marched to the police department to pick up the property, and it was long and boring. And we didn't get a whole lot of protesting done because we didn't have a lot of signs. We're just now getting organized. We're starting to get organized. So we lacked any real focus until we got to the police department. It
itself, and there we kind of took over the lobby and had a good time. But in any event, we're going to be dealing with this in the future, and hopefully in the very near future, as I get it together, to challenge this in court. I want to talk to the judges in this town, not in federal court, but in this town, and talk to them about the deprivation of constitutional rights, and pray to them that they get over their allergy to the Constitution, because that's precisely what's going on here. Judges are so reluctant to even consider a constitutional challenge to all the bullshit that's going on. But that is exactly what has to be done. So that's the plan. And I want to pass this on to whoever else wants to say something now. Okay, Lee has some more to add.
Anyway, regarding today's trip down to the police department, it's like the procedure, you know. You go up to the lobby window. They only give you 2 hours twice a week, and then there's about a three-hour window later in the day, if you add them up, where you actually pick up the property. But 4 hours a week, you can go in there and talk to them about your property and try to get it back. Today, 12, 15 people went there, or something like that. And after a while, basically, they put a sign in the window of the city PD, and they shut their lobby down and proceeded to attempt to conduct all their business by their outside phone. I think, in a way, what happened today was very consequential. I think we scared the living crap out of them just by bringing it to them.
Hey?
Well, I will recall this particular incident when the clock struck 1:30, four uniformed Husky cops came out and said, lined up across the room and said, "All right, lobby's closing. Closing time. Everybody has to leave." And, you know, it was like a military gathering. It was bizarre. Anyway, Robert Facer has something to add.
Thank you, Ed. I was just thinking while I was listening to these other comments. Basically, what we have here is, as far as a constitutional violation, I believe that it says in the Constitution, in the preamble, that I believe Thomas Jefferson said it in the Declaration of Independence, that we are supposed to be endowed with certain inalienable rights, among these life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The pursuit of happiness is something that's been ignored in every single instance that I've ever contacted the police in Santa Cruz. They are not in the least concerned with anyone's happiness. Basically, what they are doing is they are attempting to enforce certain rules which the city council has laid down for them over the years. And the city council has somehow managed to ignore the pursuit of happiness in every single aspect of anything that I've ever heard of that they've done. Speaking of the inability to freely assemble, they have various ways of getting around this. They have thrown us out of this particular location, they say, "Well, you can still freely assemble somewhere else." And then you say, "Well, we want to freely assemble at any time on a spontaneous basis." They say, "Well, no, we can't do this. We have to. You have to do it at a certain time. You have to fill out papers. You have to get permits, and then we have the right to come in and tell you that your freedom of assembly has just been revoked." This is what we're talking here is a violation of the pursuit of happiness portion of the Declaration of Independence. And I believe, you know, that from this point of view, a constitutional challenge is not even, you know, it, it's just absolutely, I mean, there is no question that the Constitution is being completely ignored by the government in the city of Santa Cruz. I don't even think they know that there's a Constitution. Everything that they've ever done here has been totally without any concern at all about what the Constitution says, and they rely so much on the fact that it's that the wealth required to get the Constitution all the way down to a certain spot on, you know, someplace in the United States, all of a sudden, you know, we're going to come in and say, well, you know, this is the Constitution of the United States and you are not obeying it, would be to them, you know, like finding one mosquito in a basketball court. The government is not going to focus on Santa Cruz, and if they ever did attempt to focus on Santa Cruz, the people here have enough physical money to actually, you know, turn their attention somewhere else by virtue of bribery. I think that we're facing a very serious problem here.
Yeah, I would definitely say that we have a big problem, especially in regards to human rights. I'm not speaking under any sort of court or law in any sort of manner at all in that sense, because I go by my own understanding of the world around me. But when you do look at laws and courts, it's very confusing to even know who has jurisdiction. And I think that's important. But what I really like to touch on is the fact of rights, basic human rights, for example, of sleep, and the ability to make a living, and the ability to adjust and assimilate into a community, and to transition through, because that is my lifestyle. And I have lived in one place for 25 years of my life in California. That's basically a life sentence. And I have paroled out to Oregon for about 2 years in other states and tried to just basically just come at ease with just the idea of being not controlled. And I think that's a good word to use is control, because everything can get controlled. Inventory, for example, in a corporation is controlled. So if I was to be put into a system where I'm controlled, it would be no different than that of a book being placed in Barnes & Noble and trapped. This is very problematic with the system we live in, is they want to know and control everything about your life. What I don't like is that if you don't adhere to their rules or their understanding of the law, and there are so many forms of law and courts, might I add, you, that we don't even know which jurisdiction or which law we're usually talking about and what it means, especially with the way they word it, with lengthier words than I'm using now. I believe John Quincy Adams argued the Amistad trial, and in it he secured 36 black defendants' lives. This is amazing. It set precedent in the Supreme Court for what we're talking about. So we don't need to argue this in the Supreme Court. This is not really a challenge of something at the Supreme Court level yet. Now, if I was to be charged with, let's say, a crime, and I was innocent, which I am as an American, and I have been charged with many infractions of the law, which in some cases can be either turned into crimes, for example, for failure to appear on a promise, which was coerced or under duress, and I didn't qualify my signature and explain that I want to retain human rights privileges at all, etc., and without qualifying, I have agreed or promised basically in a contract under duress, which would basically be thrown out of court, might you add. So if anybody gets a ticket in this county or state, let's realize that that is an excuse. Under duress, by law and contract, no human being should be forced to be doing anything like that. That violates your right to freedom, like which we said are protected under the Constitution. And besides the cell phone, but the Constitution, I don't know if you guys understand, is what the law of the land is really based on. Not admiral law, not common law, not family law, not, and I can name off and go into a law library and ask them how many different types of law we're talking about. If you say business law, they'll show you a book. If you say commercial contracting codes, they'll show you a book. They'll show you every kind of code from every kind of city. I once argued in a court successfully my freedom regarding the pertaining the matter of that exact reasoning, that I was a transient being of the earth traveling through with basic human rights. And that I had no way or understanding or no capability of knowing every section of their law. And it was stated for the record that I was old enough to drink legally, and I was in public, in a park legally, and there was no signs posting the unauthorized drinking in the park legally. So therefore, my inalienable right to happiness was upheld. And I'm going to pass it on, but I would definitely challenge anyone to think of the fact that a human being can have the right to life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, and the most important of all of those is probably life. But the very most important protected, other than those three that I just mentioned, is also property. Most people forget this one. It's the one that always, when I ask people, what are your four fundamental unalienable rights in this country, they never respond with property. I say the first three, and that's it. So think about that when you go to sleep tonight. Whether or not, if you're in your front yard, you can be charged with an infraction, because technically if you're camping with your eyes closed from the hours of 11 to 8:30, that would be an infraction, and you can be detained if you don't tell them who you are on your own property.
Hello? Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air.
This is Linda, and they're laughing at me at this big meeting. But I wanted to say a pet peeve. I am so tired of reading the newspaper about something that I was a witness to, and just seeing these classist smear jobs. Even the title of this demonstration, they put the word so-called in for 4 weeks in front of, like it really wasn't called this. I mean, it's just a dehumanizing and degrading way to inform the public. In this case, we can talk to each other better. So that pet peeve is off my chest. Maybe I can even forgive someday. But the other thing I think several people spoke about already, that's so inadequate that this cracks me up. The police department is only available for a couple lunch hours a week for people to retrieve property, but they're out there taking people's property 24/7. I'm a witness to that. It's not going to work. So I guess that's all I got for my time.
Those thieves.
Yeah, those sticky fingered agents of the state. So thank you. But who turns up the next at this meeting?
Thank you, Linda.
Thanks.
Yeah, I wanted to add, you know, that the pursuit of happiness can take many forms. You can pursue happiness in a way that's constitutional, and you can pursue happiness in a way that's not. If you are attempting to pursue happiness by freely assembling, for instance, in one location, as many as is there, for as long as you wish to stay there, which is freely assembling, that would be many people's idea of the pursuit of happiness. The idea of everybody getting drunk, now that's a different thing. I believe was at one time a violation of the Constitution, although they did eventually repeal that. So I think that these are all things to think about.
It's freakradio.org. We're live at Peace Camp 2010.
Yeah, Free, this is Vamp. You know, I mean, I've been noticing a lot of, I mean, charged energy going on around the camp lately, and it's really beginning to, we're bonding together more because of the things that the officers are doing. And
exactly.
I don't think that they understand that. And they think that they're winning, but in their little makeup world that they have, and their makeup laws that shouldn't exist, you know what I mean, we're coming to a time that they're going to have to do something about it. And Mike's only got so long till he's out of office. So, I mean, we're going to try and get a response by him, from him, by November. Seeing how he said he is a known socialist, why doesn't he do something for society instead of allowing the capitalist pigs that are the downtown association to just line his pockets and give him everything he wants? And then he has his little private Gestapo, the Santa Cruz PD. I mean, it's sickening, the things that they're doing. They're violating so many human rights.
Mm-hmm.
But that's about all I have to say. I'm gonna let it go on to somebody else.
Thanks, man.
Hey, Free, this is Gary. Just to follow up on what Vamp was saying, if you've ever called a corporation and had to go through a phone tree or gone to a window and had to fill out forms and take them to another window, you know what I'm talking about. And the version that we're having to deal with right now has, there's somebody in camp that puts it, they're making it up as they go along.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they do, but the problem is they have guns attached to their hips, and they literally come and take our stuff. I mean, if I keep telling people, if I went to a store with a friend and then was outside and went, oh, hold on to my bag, I want to go get a soda, and came back out and the bag was gone because somebody took it with a gun on their head, no less, that would be theft, if not robbery. If they did it to a house, which we don't have, that would be burglary.
Mm-hmm. And they took a crippled woman's cane, too, didn't they?
They've been taking everything. Blankets, walkers, important paperwork that people need for their court cases. I mean, it's getting outrageous. And yet they're unchecked. I mean, I can't find anybody that has jurisdiction over them. They've got makeup jurisdiction that they're abusing to the nth on, like, the poorest of the poor trying to get something fixed, using a First Amendment right. Times are going to change because the ridiculousness is unsustainable. And that's all I got to say.
Thank you, Gary.
And this is Ed. And Vamp was saying that he wants to challenge the political authorities. I want to challenge the judicial authorities because the judicial authorities have the final say on what is constitutional and what is not. That's why I called the peace camp to start at the county courthouse. That's the final authority. It resides in this county on the Constitution. And these judges have to be made to answer, does this behavior on the part of the police meet up with all necessary constitutional standards? Because it obviously does not. And if they're not able to face up to that, they're going to have to hear it over and over again from me and others. All right, that's enough bloviation on my part. Who'd like to speak next?
All right.
So I got a Twitter message from someone during our meeting, and he said to remind the people that believe in this system of state that it's a turn-of-blood combine.
What was that?
It's a turn-of-blood combine machine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the combine that goes through the cornfields or
okay.
the matrix fields. And you can't give blood from a turnip.
Just your sleeping bags.
Well, you know, you can't really get dreams out of somebody else's pillow either. So they're just getting in trouble no matter which way they play it. Yeah, who else wants to talk? Ocean, here you go. Thank you very much.
I did want to just let you guys know that sometimes I do identify as the entity. I was created also under in their corporate world, their fictional courts, and their make-believe scheme. So I'll use the full authority of what they would like me to normally sound like to my advantage and not theirs. And here it begins. My name is Sean Patrick Barrett. That's my birth name. My legal birthday is 2/15/1983. I'm a white male. I'm approximately 5'7", and I weigh about 147 pounds. And on this incident, I'm actually acting in the capacity as the president of Happy Medium Nursery Incorporated, a Nevada corporation, a legal fiction. And so in that capacity, I'm not liable civilly for anything that's, that's said or understood because, you know, and neither is this radio. Just so you know, because you're indemnified under Nevada law. We're talking Nevada law now. Now we're not talking California law, which is important why you understand law, because now we're talking corporate fiction and what they do. Now it's like, imagine Santa Cruz Police. To me, which is, sounds like a legitimate-sounding corporation, sounds like FedEx, you know? Sounds pretty good, or the Federal Reserve Banking System, or the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, or the, you know, I could go on and on and on about the Credit Union Association, or whatever, the NCUA, or whatever. I could go inside all the stuff like they want me to. So I will. And with my full corporate capacity as the president, director, secretary, majority stockholder, founder, and pretty much, you know, the only person that knows anything that happens in the corporation, controls every single thing from the safe deposit box that's located in Oregon that has no keys and nothing in it except for a health recipe to a bunch of details about how much money I've lent it and it owes me and whether or not it owes me taxes or what the hell I'm doing with it, whether like right now I'm speaking as a free agent or if I'm speaking as the board of directors, which I am. So as the board of directors, I'm going to just let you know that the basic thing here is corporate fiction that we're talking about versus real people. And I'm a real person, and I've retained my rights. And what I'm trying to touch on is the fact that we all are here, and that we have certain rights that will never get trumped. Those are unalienable rights. Now, to be treated equally under the law, not all persons are. For example, human rights don't get treated the same as corporate rights. So remember that.
Okay. Yeah, I want to follow up on the idea of corporations. I want to talk about not the legal fiction, but the intellectual fiction of a dichotomy, that there's some difference between government on the one hand and commerce on the other. That's fictional. Government and commerce are one single unity, one entity that control the entire political economy of the globe. And they're so intertwined that you cannot separate where does the corporation start and stop and where does the government start and stop. You cannot separate the two. They're all a single organic entity. So we have to recognize that and rebuild it from the ground up. And so in order to start that process, we need a conversation. We need to talk about the fact that of this organic entity, this single commercial governmental thing, and then we can start to challenge the way that only a few people, the highest bankers, get to make all these decisions in private that are going to affect every member of the public. Those are decisions that should be made by the public, and therefore we got to restructure the entire system of banking. On and on. That's enough bloviation for that point. Again, now, who else? Oh, we have another comment here.
Yeah, Fraser again. Just so you know, it's not just about homeless people here. One of the people I met this afternoon as I was leafleting outside while people were sleeping in at the city's police department, one of the people I met has spent the last 2 weeks trying to get his bicycle back. I didn't discuss his situation with him. He didn't look homeless, and my suspicion is it was perhaps stolen, and he had identified it, and they're still hanging on to it after all the time. It's not just us. They're playing fast and loose with other people's property on a regular basis, and giving people 2 hours twice a week to go get their property in a town that has 55,000 people, class 7 citizens or something like that. They're criminal.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Anyway,
why are we spending so much money on them? They're only going to be open 2 hours.
I don't know. What I was saying earlier is they seem to spend a lot of money, taxpayers' money, and I think we need to spread this more wide. Because it involves everybody. I've been here 35 years. At one point, I was a good taxpayer. Now I'm a displaced worker. But I consider that what they're basically doing is they're wasting taxpayers' money on policies that have been proven over and over and over again by studies that they don't work, and alternatives mm-hmm. have been offered and they do work in places. Anyway, I'm going to give this back to Ed. Okay, great.
All righty.
All right, well, I'm going to try to get a response from the group, from someone in the group. It's too bad we can't dialogue with listeners on the radio, but at least I want to hear from any member of the group who wants to respond to my thought, my idea about requiring this ongoing, every 30-day conversations between citizens and office holders. Because that's the only way we can hold them accountable. So mm-hmm. I'd like to have a response, and it looks like Ocean is ready to respond to that idea. Here you go, Ocean.
Thank you. I do like to be called Ocean. It makes me smile. That's my natural name that I chose for myself, and I use it sometimes. I think it's great that we're sitting here and debating and thinking and actually not resisting, but creating, you know, and adapting. And I think that that's the beautiful thing with life, is that's what it does on its own. And as far as all the things that we discussed, it's like something that you need to continually rewrite down where this inner lies with everything. But what I really was wanting to touch on is interesting. It tears at the fabric of society, at the basis of, you know, the word homelessness in that sense is so confusing and ambiguous. And what I'm trying to say is that the fabric of what we're dealing with is we're losing this to a class thing, to where it's now poor and rich is what it feels like. The poorer you are, the more you're oppressed and harder for you to function. And the more that you're not, the easier. And it just doesn't seem fair. It seems we need to continue the fabric we have and strengthen it. I think that's what we're trying to do, is, you know, slowly work with the little things that we do have, the commonalities, and intertwine more, you know, and work together so that we don't all just end up with something where we can't have equity under the law. You know, this, not always a law thing. Sometimes it's a matter of just life.
Mm-hmm.
What did everybody get from what were you told when you went down to get your property today? Did some of you get any promises that you'd get it, or just come back? Anybody want to respond?
I was just having a thought when I heard that. My experience at camp, both at the courthouse and at the, whatever this is, council chambers or garden number two, with the nice cactus in back, is that at either place, if anybody, even the police, had just come up and said, can I have that thing? Not even, like, I need it, or I want it, you know, just like, it would be nice if I could have that. They would probably get it. It's not like these people aren't giving. It's that they're being taken from, and taken from, and taken from, when they really need the things that mm-hmm. they have.
It's a hardship.
It's kind of hardship.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
You're suffering damages because it's been taken from you. There is a legal case here that could be made. Maybe people can get some money for it.
It isn't even about the money. It's about the ridiculousness.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's all the other side understands is money. That's why you're being harassed. It's because you don't have any money, and they do, and they don't like you in their neighborhood.
Well, apparently it's a matter of aesthetics, but that's a long topic that some folks mm-hmm. really well.
If it started costing them money, I think they'd change their behavior, and I think that's what we have to do.
But I feel bad because everybody's looking at me because they're not hearing your side of the conversation. So I'm going to move on, but I just wanted to say that.
All right. The taking people's stuff is a tactic that was used at the last demonstration at City Hall.
Yeah, I just wanted to touch base on the question she actually did mention about the property at the police department today. I went to the demonstration late, and I got there about 12:30, so right about when I would have normally received my property any other time. And it took about an hour and a half before I got my belongings, about an hour.
And it seems ridiculous that everybody didn't get a chance to get their stuff when they were there before the time that it closed. And then we didn't have a chance during the second part of the day. It just goes to show you the tactics that, you know, they, even under all the proper procedures and codes and sections of the law, how oppressive the system is against the poor.
Yeah, they don't obey their own laws.
Say, well, it doesn't matter about laws sometimes. Sometimes it matters about rights and privileges and everything other than laws in life. Sometimes it's just those basic things like life that matter. Not who's richer or who's poorer. Those are secondary, what religion you are, things like that. What matters is, are you dying or are you alive when I see you? And, you know, when you have no sleep, that's a form of torture. That is literally a form of torture.
It's been challenged as an Eighth Amendment.
No court could say that that is not. And, you know, the interesting thing is that when you go into jail after being sleep-deprived and maybe under coercion or duress and not even understand any of your rights, let alone your liberties or your freedom, man, you're in a serious problem because now they're bombarding you with their information. That is a direct violation of your privacy and your right to self and to be a separate entity from anything else around you if you choose to be. Be isolated or to be an individual. So if I'm inside of a building with 10 other people and one place to poop and a little thing where I go right next to where I poop to get water called a little faucet and no place for me to actually drink because I have to stick my head into the sink, how do I get water? And if I do, is that water clean? I doubt safety standards of the water anyways because I wouldn't drink a drop while I was in there. And I never will. I'll probably die if I ever go to jail because of that one issue. Which isn't fair. You know, I believe in human rights, and I would give anyone water if they asked me. It's like I would give anyone a pillow or the shirt off the back of my shirt if they asked me. If a cop walked up to me and said, look, it's either your freedom or your shirt, I would give him my whole entire property and walk away naked. And that's what we need to think about.
There's a lot of noise, a lot of background noise. What's going on?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now, yeah. Anyway, what I wanted to talk about for a moment, Free, is your idea about the use of the Ninth Amendment in making our constitutional challenges. Ninth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution basically says that the fact that rights are enumerated in the Constitution does not take away from the fact that there are other rights that are not enumerated.
Absolutely.
And those rights are reserved to the people. And now the founding fathers did not have the stupidity to include in the Constitution the right to sleep, because they just assumed that everyone had the right to sleep. And the common sense says you have the right to sleep.
Well, like the right to travel.
It's right. It's the right to travel. So the right to sleep is definitely an unenumerated right that is reserved to the people. We hereby claim it. I think it's one of the best arguments, if not the best argument we have.
Absolutely.
And I thank you for reminding me about it, because lawyers and judges don't often reread the Constitution and think about what they're reading when they're reading it. They just, you know, put it up as some plaster ornament to the law. And then they ignore it.
It's the most important right in the Constitution, because the states would not ratify the Constitution without a Bill of Rights, and then everyone was upset that they wouldn't be able to include every right at the time they made Madison come up with the Ninth Amendment. So it is actually the pivot that the whole Constitution turns on.
Hear, hear. And that's one of the, like I say, the strongest arguments we're going to be making. We're going to be making it soon. We're going to be making it as clear as we can, but with as much passion as exists here in this camp. And that's a lot of passion.
Huzzah!
Huzzah yourself. Becky, were you raising your hand? No. Okay. I'm trying to get you to say something. Ocean has a stimulant. Here it is.
I want to ask the group. It's actually addressed to the group. So you guys, I actually spoke with the sergeant one day after expressing my freedom and being detained unlawfully under a malicious arrest. And later in the paper, it's ironic because I read the paper yesterday. If you read it, it was under suspicion of obstruction. And this is actually comical in a sense, because it's a satire on life. There I am on a stage with 4,000 watts of
high intensity distribution marijuana grow light, which I'm an expert on. And for the record, look at Sean Patrick Bennett versus the case of State of California set a precedent. 3, probably, I could say, on that case. Anyways, with regard to this scene at the courthouse or the city hall, it looked like I was speaking to myself on a monologue. And then went to sleep, I woke up in a delirium, was on the stage with like an actor. And it was an actor of the law, I could say. And this is a law enforcement actor. And it was really funny because he proceeded to ask me my name, which I told you I don't even know sometimes how to respond to. And in a delirium, I took my leprechaunism and my Irish background to the fullest extent of the leprechaun law. And so I made a telepathic conversation with the cop, which replied for lasted about maybe 4 to 5 minutes. I can't remember in my delirium. At which point, I was given an ultimatum, which I had already pre-thought about if I was in this ultimatum. And my natural human response, which is programmed in me already, took effect. And just for the note, this is at 4:32 a.m., and I had a bodyguard for me wake me up at 4:40, but it was 8 minutes prior to the arrival of my bodyguard, a security officer of a corporation. It would secure my human rights under corporate law, because he's bound to it. That was his job, quote unquote. He was on duty. So basically what was happening is a scene from like a movie, but it was more like a play because of the lighting. And I'm an actor, so as a street performer and as a citizen trying to sleep at night with 4,000 watts on me, or whatever, I am a transient, I don't know, vagabond trying to get some sleep, I sure as hell was active. And so 4,000 watts of high-intensity distribution light felt like I was at my marijuana grow chambers, except there was no plants growing, it was just a movement. And the movement is now supported by the cops 100%, day and night, just for the record, because they actually continue to arrest us, which has actually kept me here until November 27th, or it was November 27th for sure.
You're stuck in this town now.
I got a new one coming, so I can't even leave then if I did get everything cleared. I got another one coming for the, this is the charges. It wasn't actually suspicion of obstruction. What it was actually fleeing and exercising my rights. And that couldn't be charged, so what they had to do is say that it was an unlawful arrest, at which point they would have had to say I was arrested, but they didn't drive up with lights blaring for my misdemeanors.
Uh-huh.
What they did was completely ironic. Listen to this. So instead of blaring like, woo, listen to this, get on the ground, don't move, don't sleep, you know, get up, arise, awaken, you know. So instead of that, he actually, like, reminded me of something, like, out of, like, a hellish a solicitation from hell. So, like, I was like, let's see if I can get this guy to sign up for Oxfam or some other, like, entity. Let's see if we can bother the shit out of him. So I wake him up, and I think it's my bodyguard. So I say, thank you. Like, I avoided citation, arrest, detention, the whole nine yards, the gambit. And at this point, he throws the gambit at me. But I had pre-programmed my flight response. So this is my flight response in action. Listen to the ultimatum, and this is how it goes down. What is your name? Telepathy. Just for the record, because you can't speak and say there's nothing at the same time. So that was telepathy. And we use telepathy. This is me and all my whatever entities I'm involved with as a natural being. I could have been invoking a spirit because I'm a shaman. Who knows? Even my mom was speaking through me. So I didn't say anything. As my sit-down comedian, I was doing a sleeping demonstration where I stand. Yeah, that's what I was doing. Stand and talk with telepathy and say nothing. So in my delirium, my shamanistic trance, my religious right to sleep had been violated, so my spiritual right to trance into hallucinization was enacted.
Yeah, that's true, huh?
And I looked at the top and spoke telepathically, and we communicated on very interesting telepathic body communications for about 4 to 7 minutes, at which time he continually forced compliance into an individual, which is a natural entity, invoked in a shamanistic trance. At this point, in delirium, the ultimatum was issued. Your name, at which I could not identify any name to the state of being I was witnessing, called myself. So I could not use the little I, the big I, or the medium I in this representation of my being. That's why I speak Spanish. It's much more, yo soy, I am. That's a good answer. But if I would have spoke that, I would have got my ass kicked. So, choosing to say nothing and arising to the situation as an actor on stage, I invoke my right to freedom. And I walk towards my shoes, gratefully exercising the little bit of liberty I had left, which is to just look at the cop in awe, as he looked at me in awe, and we communicated telepathically in this response of total compliance, not to his standards, of course, because I was resisting arrest at this telepathic.
You thought it was a security guard, too, right?
Yeah, and this is all obstruction of suspicion, or I don't remember what the charge is, suspicion of obstruction. Look in the paper, it's record. It'll say that it was someone didn't sign a ticket, they actually forced themselves to get a ticket, and they actually told me ahead of time, well, what do I do with this stuff? Put this over here. I said, where? She's like, I don't know where to put it. And this is the stuff that she needs, you know? And I'm like, she's like, they're going to arrest me. And I was like, why? She's like, because I'm not going to sign the ticket. So then I read the next day, she didn't sign the ticket, the other person, I'm the only person that got arrested, there was a suspicion of obstruction. And at this point, I'm busting up laughing because now I've obstructed what? Their corporate machine and my freedom was enacted, so I was actually in my own flight response, and they told me, stop, they demanded it, because let's go back to the beginning of the play. Beginning of the play, I arrive on scene, and I telepathically communicate with the officer until the point of movement of feet and eyes contacting him primitively, as if I was a cheetah in flight. And with my flesh, already pre-planned flight machine on, and my right trajectory machine on, I regain my last little bit of freedom. And this very primitive state of delirium on the scene of the crimes, I actually was able to secure my last right to property and grab my sleeping bag and book it down Church Street at a point where I got 22-something Church Street. I was detained and arrested. After being told to be incomplacent of the system and your rights are no longer your rights, stop. Do I continue to exercise my freedom right now of speech? I said, no. And my flight movement response of flight, in progress, freedom, towards oppression from tyranny. And so at this point, it's wonderful. I actually was tackled after, and this is for the record, because this is all record, after I complied. Four times in a row, saying, okay, 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 when they touched me. Like, okay, I'm complying. So they forced me to the ground and scraped me up and roughed me up for complying for my freedom and discomplying and basically resisting the rest of the system's machinery, which is fully ludicrous. And then they booked me into the car, searched me.
Coral.
Found my marijuana pipe, which should be a misdemeanor under Penal Code 11357. Or around there. That's the paraphernalia charge. I know I've gotten the 5758, 5.9. I'm actually on 362.5 under the oral recommendation statute. So this was legal. And didn't take it and note that it was either illegal or legal. Put it in my evidence and I got it back today without any questions asked, of course, because it's mine. And the right to property and freedoms of religion can't be oppressed in this country. So I did get my medical marijuana pipe and my spiritual connection back to the sacred artifact. But the point is here, is that was arrest. And then when I was in the system and they let me out, they added the charge of criminally lodging, Penal Code 47E, which is now not civil. I mean, this whole is a civil protest, and now we're at the state level. So I am not guilty, but they're going to ask me and try to violate my rights again.
Wait, his crime was lodging. Now, what in the hell does lodging mean? That's the name, that's what's in the statute, the wording of the statute, lodging. Lodging implies there's a relationship between the person who's sleeping and the person who owns or controls the property. In our situation, we had no arrangement as sleepers, as lodgers, with anyone. We just went to the courthouse. So does that come within lodging or not? No, we think that statute is too void.
Mm-hmm.
It's too vague, to be understood by the average citizen, and laws have to be understood by the citizens so that the citizens know what to comply with. We don't know what lodging means to the guys in Sacramento. They haven't defined it for us.
Mm-hmm.
We don't accept that.
Let me explain for a second. They brought that. That's a state law they used because there was no county law that they could use against you.
And they didn't want to enforce this sleeping ban. It's called a camping ban. An ordinance of the city of Santa Cruz, the infraction. So they went to a misdemeanor
Mm-hmm. Well, now you got a jury trial, at least, but you're also looking at a heavy, you know, up to a year in jail and a big fine.
Well, a jury trial is something I really look forward to.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's something else I want to ask, Ed. Gary was telling me earlier that the police now are asking if you are signed up at Coral Street Homeless Shelter waiting for some opening at some point, and if you've checked to see if there was an opening that day. It sounds like perhaps you may not get a ticket if you are on the list and did check that day. So maybe we should, you know, call their bluff on this and sign everybody up. And maybe they're responding to your request that there is no room.
I will put that suggestion to the group. Here.
You know, I just
free
had
a suggestion. We all go and sign up at the homeless shelter for get on the list. Therefore, put them to the task of finding us a place.
Robert just called and he was a little concerned that this meeting is a little different than the meetings have been. Everyone's kind of making speeches and not actually making decisions. So go ahead and make some decisions. And
Linda has, no, listen to this. Linda has something to say about this.
Okay.
Hi, Free.
Hi.
You know your idea of having people sign up over there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we need to get at least 1,000 people over there.
Exactly.
You know, but you know what? A lot of these people here, they're already clients over there. They know whether they're bullshitting or not, if they're being asked to be put on this waiting list or that.
Yeah.
Colette was telling me about how she had to choose between getting in the line on Monday morning at 8 o'clock where you pick some hour during the coming week where you have an appointment to be allowed to use the washer,
mm-hmm.
your laundry there,
yeah.
or getting in the breakfast line.
My goodness.
You know, well, give me a break.
Yeah.
This is some bullshit, and I'd be happy to be part of exposing it, except I got a abode. I'm sorry, folks. But if a lot of people went over there and said, let me see this waiting list, maybe they would want to straighten it out to something they can actually pull off instead of this baloney.
Well, it sounds like the police are asking that now, so I would just suggest they call their bluff. They're probably still going to issue a ticket, but
I heard what they said to Diane, who was pregnant.
What was that?
Her last ticket besides, if you come back here within 48 hours, you'll be arrested again. They said, Vos, have you been to the shelter to sign up on the waiting list? And have you looked for shelter today? So, finally, maybe the city attorney actually looked at the law he's been prosecuting.
That's what it sounds like. Yeah, it sounds like Barisoni has told him to ask that question out to help his case. So, let's wreck his case and let's do that. Let's sign up.
And I've heard them.
Yeah.
And they were issuing citations here.
I'm sure they'll still issue tickets, but it's going to help. It's going to make his case stronger, and that's probably why it's happening. But it's bullshit. We know it's bullshit.
Yeah.
But let's call their bluff. You're going up there Thursday anyways. Get on the list and, you know, check in.
Yeah, it'll be fun to call that.
May not need everyone to check in. We could have one person go up there and check in for everybody.
And see what you get for giving your name over like that. You pay attention to how you treat it.
Yeah, it's bullshit. And what if you're altruistic and if somebody's already on the waiting list, let them have the bed. You know, I mean, I'm not going to go there if somebody already wants a bed. Why should I take a bed away from someone else?
Yeah, especially when they don't have one.
Yeah, it's all lies.
With them on top of all your other survival chores for a week, 2 weeks, mm-hmm. 6 weeks, to maybe get a bed until you happen to be late coming in one night.
Mm-hmm.
It's
bullshit.
Or a month if you're real lucky.
It's bullshit, but they're gonna bring that up in court, though.
They're trying to make it more complicated than it is to make up the fact that they know damn well there's no emergency system whatsoever except for the armory, which is a racket.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get this carried away.
That's okay.
But you know what? If the people that are listening, check out makingchange.org. They have a little article in there about how all over the country, there's no emergency shelters.
None.
The article that's written up is from, in my opinion, a middle-class point of view, and he makes it sound like all these foreclosed people and these newly homeless people, they put us through this crap that very needy people and disabled people and people with problems have to go through, but there's nothing for just if you want to get back in the mainstream. My interpretation is that it has nothing to do whether you're newly homeless or you know, been no out of sidewalks in more than 2 cities, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The point, that's a classist perspective. What it is it's been left up to the local entities to maintain or have, in this city's case, have an emergency system.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't, except in Chicago, in places where people freeze to death, and the Supreme Court made sure they do.
Well, then they get sued for, you know, manslaughter. They'd be up on criminal charges. Here they just steal your property. You know.
Yeah. They scare you away so they don't have to be servant of the public.
Yeah, it wasn't a serious proposal of mine. I'm just, you know, you know, call their bluff. It's a bluff. You know, they're still going to give you a ticket.
We should do it for fun.
Yeah, just
we
do it for
show
fun.
Show them how you could run a shelter that was friendly for people if they're open to anything.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Ed something else you could put him on.
Yeah, there's lots of fun things we can do here. Ocean wants to talk to you.
Okay.
Thank you.
I have a really good point to make. I had stayed in a shelter in Oregon for temporary housing when I was a college student.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, very strange because, you know, the thing is, like, I do very normal business. Like, I'll conduct my business like a normal citizen. It's if I'm homeless or if I have a $1 million mansion, I will go out and bike if I have to and do what I got to do. Homeless, not helpless, is what a sign I saw today I was carrying around said. And it's very true. You know, not all the people that are homeless are helpless. You know, there's mm-hmm. a lot of people that are very much maybe in the capacity where
there's people
not
with jobs are homeless.
Yeah, some people, yeah, well, that, especially in this recession and depression,
mm-hmm.
the great depression. It's kind of sad, but it's sort of true, because when you look at the term, which I've done, there's a recession, what we're doing. It's just part of normal business cycles, but point of being is here. Is to say, like right now, I exit this meeting, and it's approximately 10 o'clock, and then they say I'm trespassing for being on city property, because it becomes a private park of the city.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically a municipality or an incorporated entity. Okay, so now this problem arises. Now it's trespassing, and the corporate owners don't agree. So that the problem is now whether it's on public or private, this section of lodging applies to you now. So now if you're not just walking, but if you actually go to lay down and you want to try to cover up with a blanket, you're violating A, asleep, B, blanket, or C, camping. And those are actually the way that they're worded. But they have the actual section, and then they say the thing. But I just added it because that's the way I remember it. Section A is asleep. Section B is blanket.
Blanket.
And section C is set up a camp.
So with camp. The intent to stay overnight.
No. I don't even think it's the intent to stay overnight.
No, that is the law. That is the law.
Okay.
As long as you don't intend to stay overnight, it's not camping, you get off. If you do it in the middle of the day.
What if you camp with your car then? If you park your car and that becomes your camp.
Same thing.
So if you spent the night because you were.
If you intend to stay there overnight, it's a camp of some kind. I don't know.
I don't know.
They make up these screwy laws.
That's the thing. I asked the sergeant himself after being detained for that, for those sections of ludicrousness, which is what I'll say, not law. Ludicrousness. And the ludicrousness law, or section stated, basically obstruction or suspicion of obstruction. So no proof, no concrete proof, no actual arrest, no detainment at the point of my freedom being exercised. So therefore, the quote-unquote lawful command, that would be the chain of command from a corporate entity called the Santa Cruz Municipalities and other corporate entities like the police department, which is basically an agency or a governmental body.
It's a business.
Huh?
They take more than half the taxes of the people of Santa Cruz.
Well, of course, but it's no doubt that it's an entity no different than me. Now, the difference is it is different than me.
Well, you don't pay them taxes, so they don't care about you.
How do you know I don't pay them taxes?
Well, that's what they think, because you're homeless.
That's the thing. So what if you were sleeping in your car? See, this is where the section of the law isn't just for the homeless. And this is why I don't like the word homeless.
Mm-hmm.
It's sheltered, unsheltered. And when I said about my car coming through here, when I did that, you know where I slept? I slept on the ground. But usually, normally, when my car isn't packed, I sleep in the back. I lay down the seat. I'm fine.
Yeah, that's a ticket, too.
I know. I've been harassed, and that's the thing. Is if you have a home and you have a car and you went downtown, maybe you had a beer or two, and you're like, you know what? It's not safe for me to drive. I'm camped in my car here
mm-hmm.
or parked it already. I'm going to spend the night maybe for 3 hours, and it's 2 or maybe 12. And you spend the night, so you won't be drinking and driving.
Mm-hmm.
That is camping.
And that's,
my point is that the lodging
illegal.
And the camping, I asked this to the sergeant because you said it's ambiguous. I asked him, I said, which one, when do you apply it? He says, I don't know. I said, what about the fact that, like, in the city code, it states that a misdemeanor could become an infraction on the DA's discretion, but not on the California level, I challenged. Okay, well, here you go. Here's Ed.
Sorry to interrupt, but this technicalities are getting deeper and deeper, and
mm-hmm.
I unless someone else here has...
Hey, Ed. Are you going to serve a subpoena on the homeless shelter if they don't provide affidavits that the shelter was full?
I want to talk about that some other time, so I don't have to try to think about legalities over the phone right now.
Okay.
What I'd rather focus on is whether anybody else here at this meeting has something they want to say to the audience, the internet audience that you have. Otherwise,
you're trespassing about a half hour.
Yeah, we'll be guilty of a trespass.
Yeah, you're going to have to leave pretty soon. If you had any decisions you want to make, I kind of wanted to catch you making decisions, but I guess people need to express themselves.
So there's no question before the committee as to what we would vote on, but there's no question that could be voted on. So unless someone else at the meeting has something. Well, you just spoke last night. Excuse me.
Okay.
So I'm going to call this meeting to an end.
Alrighty.
So I'm happy to go on conversing with you, but I think we've the format now has reached its limits of capabilities here for positive action and response and so on. So what did you want to do for the rest of your meeting time or your showtime? Did you want to talk or about the realities?
I think I covered. I wanted to ask you about the subpoena. It sounds like Barisoni is telling the cops to ask you if you're signed up at the shelter and did you check with the shelter if there's a bed. He's going to use that in court. It's really because they just started doing that. Gary said they weren't doing it before.
Yeah. So, you know what? I don't think I'm going to encourage that sort of thing because the right that I'm talking about now is the right to sleep and the right to sleep where you want to sleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like Robert Fager doesn't want to go to the shelter.
Absolutely.
He wants to sleep outside. That's the kind of person and that's the kind of life that he has led. That's the kind of person he is. He doesn't even wear shoes at all, ever. Mm-hmm. And he lives very close to the earth.
It's a First Amendment religious view for him.
Absolutely.
And Colette was telling me she signed up at one place. She was 14 on the list, and now she's 19. You know, it's just it's silly. It's just a scam, really, that probably Barisoni's behind.
Right. But so that's the basic claim to the government that we have a right to sleep, and we have a right to sleep where we want, so long as the place we chose does not cause any disruption to anyone else.
You're sleeping on public property. It's what the commons used to be. You used to be able to sleep on the commons. No problem.
Yeah. And we've gotten so controlling in our corporate needs to maximizing profits that we've lost sight of every human value nearly.
Mm-hmm.
We got to talk about that. That's the very first thing we got to do is talk about all this stuff. And I say we need a conversation not just between ourselves. We need a conversation between citizens on the one hand and office holders on the other, right across the table. Citizens and office holder.
That's part of your political platform. You were talking about it earlier. Also, part of your political platform is the Sam Farr's, you know, alliance with the strawberry growers with methyl bromide that they're poisoning our environment with.
Right, right. Sam Farr, you got to get that?
Go ahead. I'll turn the mics down. You can continue on talking. Okay.
Okay. Sam Farr has caused serious ethical, criminal, environmental violations for the past 17 years. He has poisoned us, and he has eaten up the ozone layer. That's Uncle Sam. Here is what he's done. He has done. In order to get himself reelected, every 2 years he takes tens of thousands of dollars in campaign contributions from the agribusiness, strawberry and tomato growers. In order to maximize their profits, they had to use methyl bromide as an insecticide and pesticide. Methyl bromide had been the subject of the Montreal Protocol, an international treaty arrived at in the late 1980s, in which the whole world decided this stuff is too poisonous and it eats up the ozone layer 50 times more efficiently than chlorofluorocarbons do, and therefore we must ban it, the use of methyl bromide worldwide. And as soon as Sam Farr got into office in 1993, he went to bat behind closed doors, and he got the strawberry growers and others in California exempted from the Montreal Protocol. Why? What's the rationale? Well, you see, you can grow strawberries organically and make a profit. You can grow strawberries in the conventional ways and make a profit. But if you're a corporation and you want to maximize your bottom line, your profit margin, then you use methyl bromide. So they went to Sam Farr and said, we'll get you reelected each time, Sam. You get us methyl bromide, even though it's banned worldwide. Okay, so That's what Sam does. For 17 years, that's what Sam has done. But nobody in this district even knows about it.
Mm-hmm.
Or hardly anybody. Why? Because the Sentinel won't print it. The Sentinel prints arguments about articles now and then, once in a while when it has to, about the subject methyl bromide. But never will it mention in the same article the name Sam Farr.
Yeah, he's voted for it. And that hurts, you know, small children and stuff in the schools near the fields.
It does. It's poison to the school children right next to the fields. Because that stuff leaks. They put plastic. That's when you see it. Why you see all this plastic all over Watsonville and the Pocatello Valley. Is because they're injecting methyl bromide into the soil. And it, a lot of it leaks. And there are lawsuits now where people have gotten injured by this methyl bromide. Their health has been ruined by methyl bromide. And Sam Farr continues to sponsor this. But now he's saying, well, and his rationale has always been, well, they're looking for something better, but in the meantime, they have to use methyl bromide. And he didn't add, but the real reason is in order to maximize corporate profits. So they're selling out people's health, and they're selling out the ozone layer, which protects us all from excessive solar radiation, which gives, if you get excessive solar radiation, obviously skin cancer is one of your possibilities. Mm-hmm. I've had many removed myself.
I heard they found something better now. Is it like methyl iodide or something that it does, instead of going up in the ozone, it goes down into the water, and then we can never get rid of it. Same poison, but...
And it is even more poisonous than methyl bromide, except it doesn't eat up the ozone layer the way methyl bromide does. So that's a real improvement, you know, and it obviously is in that sense, but oh my God.
Not if you have to drink the water.
Yeah.
And once again, it's commerce, you know, the government in united with commerce to screw the people.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Sell them down the river, yeah, in the name of corporate profits. So this is a perfect example of all of what Uncle Sam does. Uncle Sam, in the sense of the wider country here. And so I've got to get the word out in order to start that conversation. I want to have Sam Farr step forward and answer up for that. The only way I get to do it in a rational way in a reasonable period of time, 30 minutes, is if we have these 30-minute debates. So I always focus on that. But anyway, Sam Farr is coming to a town hall near you soon. And so there's going to be one...
near you.
Yeah, there's going to be one at the High Street Church, a congregational church on High Street, Holy Hill, at the top of Holy Hill there. A bunch of churches up there. And... you have to, I don't know what the date is. I wrote it down. It's September 2nd, I think. The day of Robert Facer's trial. And Robert trial.
That's probably why they gave you that court date, because you'll have to be there, right?
Well, the town hall meeting is, luckily, is at night.
Ah, okay. That's good.
Yeah.
So you're going to bring it up? You going to bring him some strawberries?
Yeah, I'm gonna raise the issues with him. See, but I have my doubts, because they'll probably grab the microphone away from me, because I need a little time to explain what's going on, you know.
He's voted for, you know, to use that, right?
Yeah, he's been a sponsor of the bills ever since. He and this kleptomaniac and anti-environmentalist Richard Pombo used to be the Congress member from Merced and Tracy. He was a right-wing Republican, anti-environmentalist, and he and Sam Farr teamed up to get this methyl bromide thing through. Whenever the Republicans were in charge, Richard Pombo was in. I mean, he's awful.
Mm-hmm.
He got booted out of office by the voters when an environmentalist ran against him. And all the people from Santa Cruz went over there and helped him campaign. It was great. I forget his name. He's still in Congress.
The next time they're spraying methyl bromide on the fields, I imagine Rotkin and Bersonia will offer you that as a place to sleep for the homeless.
Yeah, yeah. And they don't spray it, they inject it into the ground. But it escapes through the plastic. Yeah. So, anyway, thanks for giving me another platform to...
well, a lot of people don't hear about that methyl bromide much, you know.
I know, man. Yeah, it's a thing that if enough people learned about it in time, I could get a write-in candidacy for Congress in November.
That's something to think about every time you buy strawberries, you know. Little kids are suffering brain damage or whatever it causes.
Yep. Hey, well, Watson, I'm going to bang the drums with Gary here for a few minutes.
All right, you only have, like, what, 15 minutes or something? You guys got to get out of there at 10 or the cops swoop in.
Right. So, great talking with you, Free. And,
yeah.
I want to say this, the last thing I'll say, and that is that without you and without Gary, this movement would be very much diminished. Because what you've done is inspire me to go deeper into the law than I ever have before. And I appreciate your...
Well, thanks, Ed. And I did actually recommend the county before doing it. Forgot about it.
Yeah, right.
All right, take it easy.
All right, great. See ya.
Hi.
Who we got here?
Where
was your meeting?
I'll put people on, sure.
Who is this, anyway? What is
it's Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Oh, I know. Oh, yeah.
Freak Radio. Yeah. Live from Peace Camp.
We were live. Hello, are you still
there? Still live. We're still live.
I'm looking for Coral.
Get her phone back. Hey, did you guys ever get your camera back?
Yes. I got it back from Rick.
Awesome.
He delivered it to my office, left it there with a note.
Awesome.
He's going back to Santa Monica. But
did he get his hoop back? That guy is great with a hoop, if anybody's seen him.
I'm sure he wouldn't leave town without his hoop.
He's kind of like acrobatic with that giant hula hoop, and he was doing it on the courthouse steps for a while. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was like very much Cirque du Soleil. That's where it comes from.
Hmm.
Yeah,
he had a lot of energy to the Peace Camp, too. He was there.
He did, and he'll be with us. I'll go look him up. I know where I find him on 3rd Street in Santa Monica performing, I'm sure. You can find me.
Awesome.
We'll look him up. All right, here's Coral.
Yeah, Coral, we've been here at the meeting yet, and the meeting's over, and looking at the full moon going up. It's about that time to end the show, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. You got to get out of there before 10 or it's trespassing.
And there's no warnings or anything. So
you've been warned.
But so we've all been talking about a whole lot of stuff, and I guess you had the same conversation that you wanted.
We covered it. It wasn't to the audience. It wasn't the normal meeting that's there because everybody was kind of giving speeches and stuff. Normally, there'll be a lot of arguing back and forth, and they'll hammer out some kind of a resolution and decide to do something. That didn't really happen this time because the microphone was there or your phone. But it's still democracy in action there. You know, it's true democracy, not that representative crap. Yeah. And it's happening at City Hall where the other crappy democracy happens, but this is real democracy, almost anarchistic democracy, direct democracy.
Yeah, I used that word, and one of the participants said it's not anarchistic. But
well, direct democracy is a form of anarchism. The lower class is...
It doesn't matter.
The lower class has equal voice.
Direct democracy in action, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, Linda and I are the only two left. People are thinking... They better move on the time.
They've gotten so many tickets, they're wise. They're getting out of there before 10. They've already got, five or six court dates apiece, and those will be extended. They're stuck in town for a good long time. Thank you, Mayor Rodkin, for keeping the homeless around.
He keeps them around because he keeps so many tickets on hand. They can't leave town. They have to be around for the court hearing, and they have to be responsible or more. I think a warrant.
All right, there's warrants, and we'll have to pay to ship them back. Well, that's just sound thinking by Mayor Rodkin to keep the transients in town by giving them court dates.
That's a pretty good twist. I like that. Some synopsis. I don't know who was. Had more concerns, or I think that everyone needed a vent after going through
not getting their profit back.
Not getting it, and just express themselves.
And like Vamp was saying earlier, I mean, the being hammered on by the police is just making him stronger, just like when you hammer steel to make it stronger. It's dedicated folks that are not the drunks and stuff that were over at the courthouse that, hey, this is just a free place to stay, and it just got a little out of hand. But now I've got dedicated people that are determined to have their rights.
Yeah, I've witnessed that. I mean, it seems like this group has evolved into that very sound group, determined to stick together and be, you know, successful in securing what civil rights and what first natural rights we have, or they have, and all of us have, whether you're in a home or not. The same principles they were discussing apply.
Absolutely. Yeah, it isn't just the homeless. If you're from out of town, you should have the right to sleep on public property anywhere, really.
Yeah. And,
even if you have a home.
You know, it's a full moon, and it's still a beautiful full moon. And that's a comment from Linda.
All right. Well,
very special meeting for that reason.
You should probably be coming back to the studio here soon. Remember, you got to get out of there before 10. So,
I could show that I had a press pass to be here, but you didn't care.
Are you a registered journalist?
Yeah, we could interview the police as they're writing the ticket.
Have you registered at the homeless center as a journalist? Did you check today?
I didn't check if I was on the list of registered journalists at the shelter yet. No.
All right, well, I'll try and find a song here, and I'll see you back in the studio in a bit. Thanks, Coral, for covering that. I think it went well.
It was a blast. Over and out.
All righty. See ya.
Okay. Bye.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down. Gonna stand my ground, won't be turned around. And I'll keep this world from dragging me down. Gonna stand my ground, and I won't back down. Hey, baby, there ain't no easy way out. Hey, I will stand my ground, and I won't back down. Well, I know what's right. I got just one life. In a world that keeps on pushing me around, but I stand my ground, and I won't back down. Hey, baby, there ain't no easy way out. Hey, I will stand my ground, and I won't back down. No, I won't back down.
Went there. Here's another song. Mm-hmm.
said this is democracy in action. The land of the free. Business finds loopholes in the laws and pays for covert sabotage to keep the peasant pay scale foreign markets humming. People saying, vote for your candidate. Put your money on his vision. While he speaks carefully veiled words, repeating rumors that he's heard, and does it all with conviction and precision. You got spies selling out their own country, wearing medals on their collar, with a tear in their eye and their mouth full of apple pie, these undercover corporals of the dollar. When manhood is eclipsed by the corporate shadow, to dominate somebody is the only way to win. The chiefs might keep their lips sealed while the lawyers keep their eyes peeled, but the soldier knows the captain for his assassin. Solution in the words and water, but because of our children, we've got to try. You gotta call a cross-cut glass to love somebody. You grin while in your heart you cry. Higher up to the spirit country, on dreams of a better world we fly. If I don't meet you by the morning, I'll meet you when I die. Undermining third world countries has become a science. Poor people can be led around like cattle. If it isn't a white corporate country and there's no profit from their democracy, then they prop some dictator back up in a saddle. They turn their mountains and rivers into a sewer. Their hunger just knows no limitation. Accidental destruction can be written off as evolution, but only evil destroys with premeditation. People running and they got no destination. When they have a life, they're scared to die. The priests preach fear of creation, charge 10% for their salvation, and believers grin while in their hearts they cry. Higher up to the spirit country, on dreams of a better world we fly. If I don't meet you by the morning, I'll meet you when I die.
This is freakradio.org. This has been the Free the Land show. We're going to have Fun in the Oven with DJ Brian, a tape show. He's still on vacation. He should be back pretty soon here. We've been at Peace Camp 2010, live show. Coral went down there and recorded it. It wasn't quite the normal meeting because everybody had to vent a little and get their message out to the people. We'll be gone again next Tuesday. Coral does a show from 7 to 8 on local musicians. We just heard one there, Clint Barrett. He was on our show last week. They're at the archives at freakradio.org. And then we do a Free the Land show, which is more political, from 8 to 10. Thanks for listening.
And the name of that song.